Mike here. Quick note. If you enjoy listening to Elise and I break down episodes and films on this podcast, you should know we have an entirely separate podcast through Patreon. There we break down New York City-based rom-coms like When Harry Met Sally, You've Got Mail, Hitch, Trainwreck, Bros, and many more to come.
I think that we should yell at children more often. Not parents. Parents, be nice to your kids, but the rest of us should sometimes take children out to task a little.
I never yelled at a child, but I did have an arch nemesis who was like 8 years old. Like, hearing you talk about it, I'm like, well, then why would they do all that for just that moment? But then you think about it, and if they didn't, it would look like the movies I made in high school with my friends. We're really, really concerned about the bottom line of Bros.
I really am. I feel like we've already found ways they could have saved money on the budget.
Right.
If they just would have asked us about it.
For $4 a month, you get 3 to 4 episodes monthly covering a rom-com, and we're doing some fun bonus content as well. You can find us on the Patreon app by searching We Couldn't Help But Wonder, or through our website, wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com. Hope you join us there. Well, hey, Elise Castle.
Hey there, Mike Jensen.
How are you doing today?
I'm coming to you live from Pimple Patch Land.
I feel like last time I had a blemish.
You did.
And I've passed it on to you in the exact same spot.
Well, I have a few. I have one here and here and here. So
it's because we're teenagers at heart. That's what it is.
Yeah, or like for most people with hormonal uterine period things, like that's kind of where it happens, is like the jawline, chin area is usually like very hormonal acne.
You and me both, girl.
You and me both. So we are here today to talk about 100 years ago.
Yeah, 100 years ago.
Which was 1923.
100 years ago debuted August 3rd, 2023. This was directed by Ry Russo Young and written by, this is interesting, written by Michael Patrick King, ampersand Julie Rottenberg, ampersand Elisa Zaritsky. So they wrote it as a three-way team.
It's like those t-shirts that are like Paul, ampersand, yeah, exactly. George, yeah. Ampersand.
Yes, it's just like that. Mm-hmm. And I guess right off the bat, you know, I will say that they don't like this title, that they are still, they talked about on their podcast that they're still trying to think of a better title for the episode. I don't mind it. I like it.
Yeah, I don't get it, but I like it.
Well, I think that it's, and sort of what they talk about, because I've talked about this, where like you can look back at something that happened 5, 6, 7 years ago, and it seems both like it happened yesterday and like it happened 100 years ago. And I think right. That's sort of what it comes down to, is that sometimes we look at our past, like I look at, if we look, think of the fact that like some of these events took place, what, 20 years ago? Think of your life 20 years ago and what a different world it seemed like it was.
Yeah, I mean, I even think of that, anything that happened before the pandemic.
Sure. Yeah, I was talking to a busser at my job last night who, how did we even get on this? But we were talking about the subway, and I was talking about how when I first moved to New York, you had subway tokens, and he didn't know what that was. He was like, what's a subway token? I had to like pull up on my phone and be like, yeah, this is like, you didn't. He was like, well, how did you even get those? I'm like, well, you had to go to the booth and buy them. But apparently that was 100 years ago.
Were your pockets always like jingle jangle?
You know what's funny? I don't 100% remember, but I guess so. I guess you just always had a few tokens. It makes me sad that I didn't save any. And I remember as they were getting rid of tokens, thinking like I should hold on to a few of these. But of course, I was also poor. And so like a subway token was really important. It's weird to think about that. Like, it wasn't that long ago that you couldn't use a credit card in a cab.
Right. I mean, I still kind of have that mentality about like delis and bodegas. Like I'll walk by one and be like, oh, I don't have any cash, so I can't buy anything.
I will specifically look for like a CVS or a Duane Reade if I want my Coke Zero, because I don't feel bad using a card there.
Yeah, even though nowadays I think all the Gen Z people just use cards and Apple Pay for everything.
Yeah, mostly. Wild.
Weird.
So we start out by looking at an open window, or not an open window. We open looking at a window, and we get to Carrie and Aiden in bed, and it's whose turn is it to get up and close those shades?
Well, I don't know where they are. I tried looking this up. I don't know what hotel they're in. Yeah, so Carrie says, I did it the day before, and they kind of go over who's done it. So we're establishing that they've been in this room for a long time.
Yeah, at least for 6 days. That's what I have written down, that they've been there for about 6 days, it seems like.
Aiden says he's the Norfolk vampire. And now they're going to call room service and get the $26 omelet again, so they don't have to get dressed and leave the room. And I'm just thinking that room must smell.
Like, just like omelets and sex.
Yeah. Two people not leaving, just having like sex and eating omelets in a closed space.
And are you flexing? And then he's sort of like put on hold. There's not great customer service. There's going to be a lot of not great. Okay, I guess I'm going to state this right off the bat. Two things are going to happen during this recording. I'm going to say many things that I have issues with. I overall enjoyed this episode. So it's funny that I had so many issues with it. But then I will also hopefully come around and explain, I think, the root of many of my issues. And one is, there's so much bad service on this program. Like, we have the busboy that was chewing his gum.
Program.
We have, like, the spa person that can't figure out how to give them a massage because they're not a couple. We have now, like, the person at room service that keeps putting them on hold. So a lot of bad service on this program.
Well, I think what happens is, in the writer's room, they say that most of the scenarios come from their real life situations. And part of me wonders if that has to do with, we all have crazy stories when it comes to, I went to a restaurant and the server did this, or I was at the store and this happened. And if they're all bringing all of those stories all of the time to the writer's room, maybe someone just needs to say, I had a great waitress the other day.
Right. It's sort of, maybe that's what it is, that it's almost like plot overload.
Right.
It's like we're going to cram every experience into every scene. So we end up with a lot of just like random crazy things happening continuously.
Now, I do think that the reason Aiden keeps getting put on hold is so that he can talk about the chickens. And so yes, that we find out that one of Aiden's chickens likes to lay eggs in Wyatt's bed, who he says is his youngest. And we learn about his farmhouse, and Carrie is ready to fly out and meet that chicken. And then Aiden hangs up on the room service for segs, no omelet. So I think that the reason they kept putting Aiden on hold was to establish that they've been there a while, so he can talk and then they can just have sex.
Yeah, there's four nonstops a day out of JFK. Yeah, and she's quickly in. There's no kind of like, well, maybe. Nope. She's like, yep, let's go. Let's do
this. I want to meet that chicken.
Yes, absolutely. And she's Googling classic red brick farmhouse Norfolk images.
Yeah, which is pretty much what I would do. That's like my style of Googling. And then I noticed there was the instant ramen cup on her desk. And I wasn't sure if she was eating that ramen or if that was some sort of decorative cup, like a ceramic pencil holder. I could see
either of those being true.
Yeah.
And we get four ladies at lunch and sort of, you know, how does the chicken get up the stairs?
Yeah, they're at Reina, which is 11 East 13th Street.
I've never been.
It's like a club-esque restaurant is how it was described. But it's spelled R-E-Y-N-A. Yeah, talk about the chicken climbing the stairs.
But how does the chicken get up all the stairs?
Oh, I have no idea. An escalator?
But chickens can fly, can't they?
And Seema doesn't know if they can fly, but they are delicious.
Yeah, and Carrie says Aiden will be back the week after next, and that she will go back and meet the kids with him. And this feels like it's moving fast.
It's moving very fast. And also, it's pretty apparent quickly that Seema has sort of checked out of the conversation.
Yeah, you can tell. And we find out that Aiden's kids are 14, 17, and 20. And then when Seema checks in, she lets us know that she checked out after the word farmhouse.
Yes. And Carrie's still traumatized about the old country shack that she had to stay in. And this house, you know, maybe looks like the house from Howard's End.
I thought the upstate thing was kind of rude. I would love a shack upstate.
I would like access to one. And once again, I feel like we talked about this. I liked that cabin. I wouldn't want to stay there for lengthy periods of time, but I enjoyed the cabin.
Well, and I understand what you're saying. Like, have access to one. My boyfriend's mom's boyfriend has a house upstate, like a smaller house upstate. And he was telling me it's a lot of work, like, to winterize them, and especially the ones that are a little bit not in, like, right in a city. You know, there's a lot of stuff you have to do to make sure the upkeep is okay. And yeah, Carrie says she Googled houses and there are a bunch of cute ones. One that looks like the house from Howard's End. I have never seen Howard's End or read Howard's End.
So Howard's End, I've told this story somewhere, but I guess probably not here because when would I have done that? Howard's End is a movie that I've seen about three times. I own the DVD. I enjoy it. I think it's a great film. A thing happens towards the end where, like, a bookcase falls down, and then I have no idea what happens for the rest of the film. I have, like, the ending of that film is so confusing to me. I've literally stopped it, rewound it, and pressed play again. No idea. But the ending is a mystery.
Don't worry, because Miranda's going to spoil it for you right here.
Does she?
I don't know. She starts to... I tried to not listen because I was like, I want to watch this.
Well, it's sort of like if Emma Thompson could commute for Anthony Hopkins, which is pointed out that is not actually what it's happening in the book or the film.
She's commuting for the house.
Yes.
Yeah, I can just tell Seema doesn't like any of the Carrie and Aiden stuff.
Yeah, you see Seema have a thought. And Charlotte's very excited about this. And Carrie's whole thing is like, if this is feels right, why slow it down?
Yeah, and you can, I just wrote Seema is saying it all with her eyes.
Yes.
Yeah, and Carrie and Aiden want to take the three out for dinner and everyone is all for it. But you can tell Seema is annoyed.
Yeah, send me some dates is kind of all that she has to say to that. Mm-hmm. And apparently Carrie was looking at houses in Norfolk in the UK.
Yeah, that's Seema points that out very quickly, that which is also something Carrie would do. She wouldn't really, like, she would get her results and just assume they're all correct.
Yes. So now we're at the First Presbyterian Church at 12 West 12th Street, which does make sense if they were just on 13th Street having lunch.
Oh, good. I didn't. How did you find this?
Listen, the number of times I got in my Google map, okay. It didn't always work out, but it worked out a couple of times.
Because I didn't know, but I knew they were walking and talking about Miranda starting her internship, and Miranda understands internship and starts using different analogies and then saying that she shouldn't say the words totem pole, man, or bottom.
Yes.
Which I don't know what's wrong with saying bottom.
I think that's just like the third joke because it's, you know, funny. Totem pole and then, yeah. And yeah, this is sort of the Carrie says that the law firm seems like 100 years ago. And can we talk about Aiden? And should you maybe take a beat here?
And Carrie says, no. I won't, because I am living in the present, and I am having amazing orgasms.
And it was important, apparently, in the writer's room to make it not just be about the fact that she's having, like, the best orgasms with Aiden over, say, like, Big or someone else, but even with Aiden, that she feels more present and more centered than she's ever felt. And she thinks maybe that's because she was always holding a piece of herself back because of Big. And I wrote, holy shit. Like, what happens to end this scene? Listen, I've been clear since episode one. I was never a big fan. Like, I never got it. I never understood it. I was floored by what we're about to say in this scene.
Like, I couldn't or I wouldn't allow myself to fully go there. Just feel this connection. Uh-huh. You know, and I'm just wondering, was it always there and I just didn't want to accept it? And Miranda, I can't.
What is it?
I've been asking myself, was Big a big mistake?
I literally was like, what now? And like, you sort of see Miranda have the same reaction.
Yeah, Miranda is shocked.
This just felt like, are we going to retcon this entire series to say that Big shouldn't have happened?
Well,
because that's wild to me.
There is solemn music playing. That's what my caption said. Yes. Now, here's my thoughts on this is maybe, you know, I think you can hold two things to be sure. I think you could be a fan of Mr. Big and also think that maybe it wasn't where Carrie should have gone, because I think we've all been in those relationships or have chased after a relationship and looking back at it, think, oh, I wasn't even into that person. It was the excitement. It was the chase. It was the thrill. And 100%, that's what it was for Carrie and Big. At least what it looked like was that unrequited love, that chase, that will they, won't they, the whole meet cute, the Harry met Sally, like all of it. You know?
Yeah. I want to be clear. I'm not anti this. Like, I'm not against this moment. I was just floored by, like, I was so shocked by this moment. And yeah, you're absolutely right. But just the idea that, like, was he a big mistake? Like, you married him. You only ended that marriage because he died. Like, it's just it was just wild.
Well, I wonder how many complicated feelings come with, like, okay, I finally got the thing and I finally tamed this man and I've got this man to settle down. And it feels, I wonder how much unease she went through their marriage because she was always worried of losing him.
Yeah, I wonder. I think it's fascinating. I, once again, not against this storyline. I was just really, neither Miranda or I know what to say.
We need the post Sex and the City prequel and Just Like That. We need the middle years.
Yeah, absolutely. So now we're with Charlotte and the family, and I say that Richard Burton is paying far more attention than Rock.
Yeah, Richard Burton is all in on this family meeting. Charlotte is telling them that she is taking a full-time job at an art gallery, and the kids are like, whatever. And then she's like, you know, I'm not going to be here as much. And you can tell that now they're excited.
Yeah, they're thrilled.
Yeah, they're having a great time. And Rock is like, Mom, fly, be free. And Richard Burton is kind of sad. And he's not really looking at her. And then everyone leaves. And Richard Burton's still kind of there.
Yeah, are you going to miss me, Richard Burton? Yeah, no one seems all that concerned about it. And, you know, Harry will have to pick up the slack. And he said that he would, but Charlotte wants witnesses. And yeah, the kids have homework to do. And they're kind of, I think it's that thing where, like, especially when you're a kid, you're like, sure, parent, whatever.
Right. I think this was more for Charlotte so that she could... You know, she wants to do this and she's making sure she's covering all of her bases.
And we get to Miranda at the office. So, like, she's sort of eyeing the exercise ball next to her that someone's using as a chair.
Yeah. And then we are quick to meet Serena, played by Courtney Carter, and Sloane, played by Kate Heyman. Those are the other interns.
And they like their supervisor, Raina, but they warn about all the grunt work that she'll be doing. And then we have a garlic chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, so I did a little research here on this. Cookies are important to me.
Yes.
I noticed that Serena is carrying a cup from Oslo Coffee. So my first guess was that this cookie may be available at Oslo Coffee. I couldn't find anything on their website. I Googled garlic chocolate chip cookie New York City. I couldn't find any. However, I did find recipes for them. So they are a thing that exists in the world. And people do say they are delicious.
Interesting. Okay. And then we meet Raina, played by Evelyn Howe. She doesn't have a ton of credits. She's kind of new-ish in the acting world. But I enjoy her a lot. Like, I enjoy her vibe. I enjoy her look. I enjoy her style. She gives me sort of Daphne Rubin Vega vibes. Mm.
Okay.
Anyways, I enjoy her.
Yeah, and she asks Miranda to take notes, which was the one job that Serena and Sloane said that interns are rarely asked to do.
Yeah, and you can kind of clock that the two of them are a little perturbed, perhaps.
Because she asks them to jump on the citations, which is the grunt work.
Yes. And we get to Che at work, and Carrie shows up. And I will say that they talked about on the podcast that this job... was actually inspired by Samantha Irby, apparently, who is one of the writers and a producer on the show, once upon a time worked the front desk at a vet. So that's kind of why they gave this job to Che.
Well, Che is using far too much vulgarity in the presence of a turtle.
I know. I really like that turtle.
It is established, though, that Che cannot afford to go out to lunch with Carrie, not because they can't afford the lunch, but because they can't afford to take a lunch break. They get time and a half during lunch. Carrie is telling Che her actual reason for visiting, and that is that Carrie wants Che to rent their apartment to her, because apparently Che has had some Airbnb people in there that maybe were difficult, and Carrie will let Che stay at her apartment because her and Aiden need somewhere to go. And then that's the deal they settle on.
Yeah, and Judy is into the intrigue. And I will also say, another thing that I gleaned from the podcast, is they refer to Judy as, did they say old school, OG maybe, a trans woman, which I didn't know that the woman that plays Judy is trans. And we didn't mention it before because I didn't know. So just for the record, that's why it wasn't said before, because I had no idea.
Yeah, and I think that's cool. That would make sense maybe why Che felt as if they had a home at this vet clinic. You know, I know a lot of queer-owned businesses are almost safe spaces for queer employees.
For sure. And while
trans-owned businesses and, yeah.
Yeah. And while I like visibility as far as, like, talking about it and, like, putting it out there, I also like that this wasn't talked about.
That no,
it was
just like, that.
Here's Judy. Yeah. Good stuff. And we're with Anthony at Hot Fellas, and Giuseppe's not available today because he was at your apartment yesterday and the day before. Apparently, Lorraine is eating too much bread.
Yeah. Lorraine, you're eating too much bread. Have a protein. Carb shaming. I don't like it.
And then Giuseppe says not to punch the bread and then shows him how to knead. And it's so funny because I wrote in my notes, we have a ghost moment.
I wrote, Giuseppe does not want Anthony to punch the dough. Now we have a ghost moment.
And this was specifically a reference to Ghost. They actually wrote this in the script. So we both got the reference. Good job, writers.
Kudos us. Yeah, and Giuseppe tells Lorraine he's gay. And Anthony thinks he's lying. He's not. And now Anthony wants to fire him for being gay. Yeah. He really wants, like, to fire him because he loves him and doesn't know how to handle it. Giuseppe doesn't buy it. Anthony is pushing him away. But Giuseppe might talk to a lawyer, so now he's just on probation. Like, I'm confused. None of the they need an HR department over here at Hot
100%. Fellas. Yeah, definitely. And I do like that he says something in Italian, which apparently translates to girl, take a chill pill.
Yeah. Love that.
And we get Charlotte and Lisa shopping. And I feel like I see the outfit that Charlotte's going to pick out before she sees the outfit.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
On that rack, I'm like, it's going to be that one with the pink.
Yeah, Charlotte and LTW are shopping for Charlotte's work clothes. She wants pretty much what she wore before. Is
100%. Like, I feel like this outfit's been on the show before.
Me too. And she finds a very OG series Charlotte dress. She looks great in it. But then Charlotte comes out and doesn't love it around her midsection. But she doesn't. There's a pink belt and she doesn't want to lose the belt because the belt makes it. And then this part, at first I was angry about the way they treated the salesperson. Because the salesperson hears what Charlotte's saying, is using context clues, hears, oh, my client likes this dress, but doesn't like the way it makes her feel here. So she brings out outfits that are more generous fitting and not as snug, so it won't accentuate the areas you are not comfortable with. She's never saying, you look bad or it's too tight. She's just helping. And I said, I think she's being nice here. And then Charlotte gets really mad. But then I realized LTW isn't mad at her. You're 25. That's your crime. So I felt better.
Yeah, I'm kind of back and forth on this. Because I will say right at first, this storyline annoyed the fuck out of me. Like, I was so annoyed with this. I'm going to explain why later I come around to it. But in this moment, first of all, I was kind of like, is the salesperson, like, looking her up and down? And you're right. She's probably just doing her job. She's just saying, like, oh, okay, I think I know the solution here. And I wrote, Charlotte likes it, but I guess we're going to pretend like she has a tummy, and I just was sort of irritated by that.
Me too. That reminded me of the episode in Sex and the City where we were all supposed to believe that, like, Samantha had gained a ton of weight.
That was the movie where, like, they actually had, like, right, a tummy double, and I'm like, what is happening here? Like, so aggravating. And once again, if you're annoyed with my annoyance, I promise I come around and I will explain what I think happened in my brain here.
Well, and I think too, something that a lot of people may not understand and is that in higher end stores, the salespeople there, their job isn't to just cash you out. It is to follow you to the dressing room, to help you, to guide you towards pieces that might
they
not even be on the...
basically your personal shopper.
Right, like, that
they
might not even be on the floor. So she was just doing her job.
Yeah, and I do in this instant, though, do love Lisa's response of, like, you'll understand one day. The problem is that you're 25. Mm-hmm. So, and now we have Charlotte going through pictures, and I love that we see the Atlantic City bus picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she pins it to her dress. I don't know if that was, like, when I used to pin a picture of myself to my refrigerator to, like, lose weight. Like, I don't know if that's what she's doing or if it's just get into that mindset. I wasn't sure.
It's tough because I do think that there are problems around putting up a picture of yourself 25 years ago to be like, I'm going to be that again. Like, yeah, we're never going to be what we were 25
that's
years
my goal.
Ago. Yeah, it's a troublesome goal. Hey, we get an elevator and Aiden's never lived 18 floors up before.
Yeah, they have luggage and a bag from Chopped, the salad place.
Yes. Have you gotten your order from Kava there yet? Or was that the other way
around? I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for them to deliver it. And then we find out that that they're Airbnb. Che's building doesn't love Airbnb, so they have to say that they are Che's cousin. Most buildings in New York City don't love Airbnbs because, you know, it is difficult to be living in a home and have people in and out of there treating it like a vacation space.
For sure. And just like the uncertainty of, like, not knowing from week to week who's your next door neighbor.
Right. It is difficult. But then they meet the neighbor in 18D, who is credited as Che's neighbor, who is played by Willie Falk. Now, here's my journey with Willie.
Okay.
So I clicked on his IMDb, which was my first step, and I noticed there wasn't very many credits. But one credit that stood out to me as a detective was that Willie played an ensemble member in Chicago the Movie.
Yes, I did see that.
So then I thought, Willie must have a career in theater. So then I just Googled his name because I thought, there's no way that this man only has 4 IMDb credits and hasn't had a much grander career. Mm-hmm. So then I was brought to Willie's website, where I found out that Willie is a Tony Award nominee for the role of the original Broadway company of Miss Saigon, playing opposite Lea Salonga as Chris.
Holy, really?
Yeah. And I went, I mean, I like clicked and downloaded Willie's resume off of his website. He was also Marius in Les Mis.
Wow, that's wild. I did not go that far.
Yeah, well, just I was just, you know, something went off that said, oh, okay, so this person, if you know, if you were, because I think it's just because I know so many Broadway people who were in the ensembles of those movie musicals, and you have to get in the room, you have to have some credits. But yeah.
Wow, that's wild. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they pretend to be cousins Brad and Janet, and even I, who's never seen Rocky Horror, like, knew that that was those names were from.
Well, Aiden, after Aiden was corrected by Carrie for Che's pronouns, Aiden then loudly proclaims, "We are they them's cousin."
Yes.
And yeah, Aiden says their names are Brad and Janet, which is from Rocky Horror. I knew that too. And when did Aiden just become a complete idiot? Like, yeah. This man is able to run his own business, have three kids, have a house, but he can't just go along with this game of saying, like, oh yeah, we're Che's cousin. Nice to meet you. My name's Aiden and this is Carrie. Like,
yeah, no, he even Carrie calls him the worst spy ever. And they need salad tongs and a pepper mill. And I do like that she's fine with all of that. But the problem is there aren't enough hangers on the ones that are there.
Che has like 5 hangers in there. They're all wired.
So now we're kitchen shopping. And I do love kitchen shopping.
Okay,
this
but before that,
me.
Where are the salad tongs? For what? It's chopped. The whole point of going to a Chopped to get a salad is that they put everything in that big mixing bowl, chop it up, and toss it for you. And you get... You're like, they don't need salad tongs. They're in individual bowls.
But maybe they want to mix them up and put them onto plates.
Also, it looks like they said no to bread because like when you go to Chopped, they say, would you like bread? And the bread comes in like a little paper on the side, which I understand for Mike. Mike does not have the gluten privilege I have, so he cannot have the bread. But it looks like they said no to bread. And I hopefully they were not influenced by Anthony's cruel words against carbs. Anyway, Che doesn't have anything in their house, which feels odd for an Airbnb to be renting out. If you're going to rent out your apartment, I feel like have some cups. But yeah, kitchen shopping. They go to Williams-Sonoma. They spend millions of dollars.
For sure.
I broke down the costs later. We'll get there.
Okay. Yeah, I once wanted to get, what is it called? Those pans that pop open on the side so you can make cheesecakes.
Oh, Springform.
There you go. Thank you. And my first stop was Williams-Sonoma. And I was like, nope, I will be finding this somewhere else.
Yeah, Williams-Sonoma is a great place to go if you need Nespresso pods because you can get the Williams-Sonoma brand and they're sometimes on sale. And it's good to get like an artisanal pumpkin pie pancake mix that you're going to pay too much money for. Or mulling spices that I get for my mom for Christmas. But it's very expensive.
It is very much. And a sea salt grater. I had never heard of a sea salt grater.
Well, because sea salt comes in those large rocks. So
I've never seen that before. I've never seen a sea salt rock. Mm. And all of Che's spoons are too big. And true story, when I stayed in London this previous spring, all the spoons were too small. I had to eat my soup with a tiny little teaspoon. I did let the host know when she asked if there was anything that I had to say that was my thing. I was like, this is very silly, but you should probably have a soup spoon. And so there are future people that stay at that place, there are soup spoons there now.
We had a very particular regular at the restaurant Mike and I worked at who was insistent on eating her dessert with a demi-tasse spoon so it would last longer.
I can't even. And Seema gets a message from Carrie about dinner, and then Elliot is here, and let's talk about John Glover for a minute.
Okay, why don't you? Because he has a very extensive resume. I'm just not familiar with his work.
So, first of all, he's like 78 years old. He was born in 1944, and this is the opposite of age shame. He looks great.
Maybe he pinned a picture of himself to a hanger.
Maybe. And like his money job is that he did the TV show Smallville, which had a nice long run. But like he made his stage debut in 1963 in a play I've never heard of, or I would say what it was. He made his Broadway debut in 1972. He's been in film and television since 1973. I mostly know him for the movies Scrooged and Gremlins 2, because those are two movies that I watched many times as a child.
I have seen Scrooge. That's with Bill Murray.
Yes. And he won a Tony Award for Love, Valor, Compassion. Like, he's just done so much and been around for so long. Anyways, I was just impressed. Like, I knew that I recognized him. And then when I was looking him up, I'm like, God, this guy's been around, like, working for so... Like, I was just really impressed. Very impressed by his resume. And he doesn't have long, and he's not talking about his lifespan.
No, he is stressed about his client and wants Seema to take his client. And we find out that the client's looking for a 9-month rental. Seema doesn't do rentals, but Elliot will sweeten the deal. I'm assuming the fact that it's this big director, Ravi Gordy, but I think they say Gador, but anyway, is the sweetening?
I think it's the fact that he's handsome and straight.
Right. Then we find out he's straight and single, and that's the sweetening. But Seema says a demanding straight is worse than a picky gay, and I don't know about that.
I could go either way on that one, I suppose.
Because I think a picky gay is pretty demanding.
That's very true. And this actor is Armin Amiri, and random fact, he was in a movie called Reservation Road, which is the only IMDb movie review that I've ever written.
What were your feelings on it?
I thought it was such a great movie, and like, it did not do well, and I saw it as part of that award season, and I don't know. I thought I'm going to give this a glowing review on IMDb and then people will see it. I don't think it worked, but I did my best.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, and Ravi admits that he is difficult, but Marvel is paying for the apartment, so there's not going to be any money drama. And Seema, show me where I want to live.
We do have a wide shot here where you see all three of them on the screen, and it's Elliot saying, like, girlfriend, he's straight. And I'm like, yeah, he's also standing 3 feet away from you. He could probably hear what you're saying.
Well, he's always on the phone, so maybe that.
I guess so.
Yeah. And then we get to Sloane and Serena bitching about Miranda getting the better work in her first day, and then Miranda comes and sit with them.
Miranda comes in with a kale Caesar from Sweetgreen.
Okay, I see your kale Caesar, and I thought it was a chicken pesto parm with the Caesar dressing.
Oh.
Because I saw that spicy broccoli up in there.
Was there spicy broccoli? I only saw the tomato. This is not an interesting conversation. But I very much was like, oh, that's the salad that I get quite frequently. But now I'm curious. I have to go back and solve this mystery.
It's definitely a sweet green salad.
And it's awkward.
Yeah.
And also, Serena and Sloane have been there for 4 and 6 months. And I can't decide if that's a long time or not that long of a time to have interned someplace.
Yeah. And Serena and Sloane are texting about Miranda while she's there. Miranda's like, I feel paranoid that you're texting about me while I'm there.
Yeah, which is what they're doing.
Yeah, and then Raina comes out and says that she loves Miranda's notes she took and wants her to send them to the executive director. And then you see Sloane and Serena, like, texting again and being mean girls.
Very mean girls, even though Miranda bought them cookies.
Yeah, rude.
And we get Charlotte looking at herself in the mirror, and Harry thinks she looks great because she does.
She does look great. Yeah, and Charlotte just wants to lose the belly fat, not the belt. Because Harry, of course, was like, well, just lose the belt. And she just needs a few days. And this is when I thought, like, this feels very when they called Samantha fat.
And my note literally says, Che says she needs to lose the belly. I don't know what kind of autocorrect happened in my iPad, but suddenly I put Che and they were saying mean things about Charlotte. No, clearly I meant Charlotte needs to lose the belly and needs a few more days. She's been doing the bone broth thing all week. Yeah. Once again, I'm still in a place where I was not wild about this. I'm going to bring it around later. But Carrie and Aiden, Doug and Jane, Brad. Yeah, this is a whole mess of names happening
here. Yeah, I just wrote Carrie and Aiden are back to being the most awkward, obvious Airbnbers ever.
Yeah, Aiden is awkward. And then we get Che at Carrie's using Gary's stuff, which I guess is funny. Part of me was okay.
Yeah, it reminds me so much of Che is going through all of Carrie's beauty stuff, doesn't like Carrie's perfume. It reminds me of I have this friend, Renee, who I've talked about before on this podcast, and she, no matter where she is, if she is in your bathroom and she sees that you have perfumes, she will smell all of them. She will try all of them. When it comes to beauty products, she tries everything. And sometimes I just get annoyed with her. Last time she was at my apartment and she did this with a lotion. And I told her that it was hair removal lotion after, because she'd put it all over her face just to freak her out, because I'm just sick of her always just spraying everything because it smells and then she smells and then we're late and she's not listening to this, but I think she's
gonna say, I hope you're listening, Renee, because you're in a lot of trouble.
No, she has friends though that I know that listen to this podcast, and I hope they are with me in solidarity on this, because they have all been victims of Renee's perfume spraying everywhere.
And Che's phone rings and someone's calling about their cousins. I also am just, because I never pick up the phone if the caller ID doesn't say a name, I'm always amazed on film and TV when someone's like, hello, and doesn't know who's calling them.
Well, Che is an out of work comedian actor, so they're probably just hoping that it's a job. Yeah, Che's going through Carrie's closet now and picks up a very large platform heel. And Che is also terrible at this. Che is a terrible Airbnb host because they don't know how to just respond when their manager when their building management calls and says, Brad and Janet, Brad, Carrie, Janet.
Yeah, you would think they would know to just go with it and just be
Janet,
like, yeah,
and Doug,
yeah,
Brad.
I know them.
Yeah, know them, love them. No, they deserve to all just be kicked out at this point.
So Che's at 18F and checking on Doug, Brad, and Janet.
Yeah, and they bought, and then Che notices the blue pot on the stove, and this is right in some cost breakdown, because that blue pot is a La Crusade Dutch oven. Those run around $300 to $400, so I'm glad that they bought one of those just to make some chili. Che also notices the Nespresso maker, which is going to be left for Che, so they needed coffee, so they bought an, on the low end, $150 espresso maker. They talk about the $47 pepper mill right then and there, or not pepper mill,
garlic press
right then and there, so I don't even have to tell you that. A pepper mill at Williams-Sonoma runs about $80, $169, I would say, for all of the wooden spoons. I mean, I'm saying about at least $1,500 was spent so that they could make a bowl of chili.
Yeah, they definitely could have just stayed at the hotel. Is that how much those pots are? I have one of those. It was a gift. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, so a lot. I mean, it really depends on which one, which size, which all of this, but some of them, they run, I would say that one's about $300 to $400.
And, you know, we have Che with a question about the two of them. Why didn't this work out? And it's pretty quick of Carrie saying it's because she made a mistake.
And I thought this seems like a very important moment that Che is just there for. Like, it felt very personal. And I know Che asked the question, but still.
But they were saying also that it had to be this, because there's no way that Charlotte or Miranda would have been like, why didn't the two of you work out? Like, it had to be someone removed that wouldn't have taken it too personally, that would just have the nerve to be like, why didn't this work out? Because there's no one else that would have asked the question.
Yeah, and Seema would have taken it personally.
Right.
Sure.
And we get to Charlotte talking about her 30s and 40s and how she could drop 5 pounds like that.
But she can't because she's in menopause. And Anthony's like, whatever. Back to Giuseppe. Yeah, yes. Like, they're both having their... Giuseppe. They're both having their own conversations and talking to each other. And then Charlotte goes on to say that she's back to being a gallerina. Ballerina, gallerina. Anything that ends in ina is teeny tiny.
I wrote, they're not really listening to each other. No. But I think it's fine. I think they're both just want to, like, say the things. They don't really care about the reaction. It's a very short scene in reality.
And I don't know if you noticed this, but Charlotte is eating broth, and the cookbook that's open behind her looks like it's open to how to make bone broth.
Bone broth makes my body hurt. I don't know what it's actually made of, but it literally makes my bones hurt when people talk about it.
Well, I think it's made the same way you make, like, chicken stock.
Sure.
But maybe with just more bones. There used to be a place by my apartment called Brodo, which was just like a broth shop, kind of like a coffee shop, but it was broth, which just feels weird.
Yeah.
It's no longer with us.
And we get to Carrie getting her hair done, and Seema's right next to her, and she kind of tries to sneak by.
Yeah, she tries to sneak by, but Carrie notices her right away and then gets up, and I'm thinking, what about those women washing your hair? Like, I think she was mid-shampoo, and Carrie just whips up to talk to Seema, and I'm assuming someone got wet hair in their face.
I think that Seema was done, but yeah, I was a little confused on the Carrie one, and it's, you know, is everything okay? You haven't answered any of my texts or calls, and if we're going to have this conversation, I'm going to need a cigarette. And I like, you know, Carrie's like, what conversation? And Seema's like, this one.
Yeah, and they go outside. We see that they're at the Warren Trichomey Salon on Madison Avenue.
And it was really raining this day. And there was a brief conversation of like, well, do we move the scene inside? But everyone just agreed, like, no, this has to be outside in the rain with wet hair, with umbrellas. Like, this is the proper setting for this scene.
And you see that often in New York City. I mean, this happens at all hair salons, but you see it because you're out walking in New York City. The women outside while their hair is processing, smoking a cigarette.
And Seema brings up the Hamptons house, which Carrie has clearly forgotten about.
Right.
And that she can't be the third wheel. It's not the summer she signed up for. And that, you know, you're already a we.
Which is a topic from the original series, I feel like.
Well, you know, I don't know if I should save this for the end, but I really related to this scene. You know, as someone who is happily and purposefully single, I'm almost always the odd number at the table. You know, like, I'm almost always the third or the fifth. And I noticed it years ago that most situations that I'm in, I'm the single friend. And I don't mind it. You know, once again, I like being single. I'm not looking to be part of a couple. And I, as someone who loves my friends, and most of my friends want to be part of a couple, I want them to be happy. So I don't want my friends to be single. But I do have moments where I'm like, here I am. I'm just the single guy.
No, and I, believe me, as someone who has mostly been single and is now in a relationship with somebody where we have like different schedules, so oftentimes we're not together. Yes, I agree with you.
There's no way to say this without seeming petty or pathetic.
Well, you're neither petty nor pathetic. Just say it.
From everything I've heard, it sounds to me that you've had these two great loves, and I've had none. No, please don't say I will, because I might not, and I can live with that. But I can't do this summer. That's not true. I could, but I don't want to. I don't want to spend a fortune having this feeling.
Which I love. And I've actually said this to somebody before in so many words where, you know, there was a complicated situation with somebody and they had entered a new relationship and I had said, we need to take some time. And then eventually when they came back to seeing me again, they were like, if you can handle it, as a joke. And my response to them was, listen, this was never about me not being able to handle it or if I could handle it. I can handle it. The difference is now I'm choosing that I don't have to. Like, why should I force myself to be around somebody that doesn't make me feel great?
And I also like Seema's thing of, you know, when she says that she hasn't had a great love, and Carrie kind of goes to, I don't know if she's going to console her, but Seema's thing of like, don't say that I will, because you don't know that I will. Mm-hmm. And I think it sounds maybe dark, but there isn't a lid for every pot. You know what I mean? Like, there are all those sayings of like, oh, you'll find someone, or there's someone waiting out there. And there isn't always. And I don't mean that like in a sad way, but I don't know. I think there's a certain knee-jerk reaction of like, you'll find it. It's all going to work out. And I like Seema's thing of like, I don't know that it is. And even her thing of like, I'm fine living in that reality, but I don't want to pretend that I'm okay. Yeah, I don't want to pretend that I'm okay in a situation in which I'm not going to be happy. And, you know, she got the deposit back. And Carrie isn't worried about losing the money. She's worried about losing Seema.
Well, the thing that happened before this, though, is Seema says she got the deposit back. And Carrie's like, without talking to me? And I wanted to be like, Carrie, 5 minutes ago, you said you completely forgot about it. So relax, number one. And yeah, I need a little space right now. And Carrie's immediately thinking, no, you can't have it. And Carrie doesn't want her to pull away. And I'm wondering if this is triggered by what happened with Samantha, or is Carrie just being Carrie and selfish?
100% it's Samantha. And I knew it watching the scene. I wrote, it's not stated, but this feels like shades of Samantha. And in the podcast, they did say this was all about Samantha, that they wanted to have a scene that was about that character without even stating the character's name, which to me, I thought it was really powerful. And I see both sides of it. I see Carrie's thing of like, no, you can't have space. Like, space between friends just gives more space. But then Seema being, you know, pretty insistent of like, I need the space.
Space,
like,
and I'm gonna litter right now.
Yes, let's not forget, dropping your cigarette on the ground is littering. And we get to Charlotte putting on the Spanx.
$1,000 worth of Spanx. Just ripping them open, doesn't care.
Yeah, Rock and Lily wondering if she has a sore throat.
Yeah, and she wishes her kids the best as she can't breathe.
Yes. And then we cut to Anthony informing Lorraine that Giuseppe no longer works there as Giuseppe arrives and didn't you get my text?
And he didn't understand Anthony's message because crazy isn't his first language. And pretty much in summary, we find out that Anthony can't work with Giuseppe now that he's gay because he can't control himself. It's kind of like what the Cliff's Notes version. It reminds me of when you take the sexual harassment training at a workplace. There's this one question that's like, what should you do as a man if you are harassing someone at work? And one of the, basically like the answer is don't harass people at work. But the multiple choices are like, ask the coworker to leave, tell the coworker to dress appropriately. Like, it's so wild. And that's what that just reminded me of. You have to leave because I can't control myself.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on 10 sides of this story. Because on one hand, I'm like, no, you can't fire someone because you can't resist them. Like, that's not a good reason to... That's like saying, like, I can't hire you. You're too pretty. I don't know. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. It also doesn't make any sense because he didn't want to work for the company anyway. He's a poet. He only agreed to stay on for a short amount of time.
He doesn't need the money. He's a poet.
Exactly. So I didn't really fully understand what this storyline was about. And then I guess in the end, it's all fine, because Giuseppe doesn't want to work there anyways. He quits, and then they kiss.
And then he makes out. So, which leads me to believe that I think Anthony was picking up on the sexual tension, so he didn't want to exasperate the situation. And Giuseppe didn't want to work there, but he's in love with Anthony, so he wanted to work there to be closer to Anthony. Any hoodle, Charlotte gets to the gallery.
Well, I think also, quickly, I think what annoys me about this storyline a little bit is that I do just look at the fantasy of it, of like this, like, I don't know. Of course, he's has feelings for him, too. And I get that it's a TV show, so the fantasy is fine. But there's just part of me that's like, sure, now they're going to be in love with, I don't know. It felt a bit far flung, but I'll try to just go with it for the sake of the show.
Didn't seem realistic like every other episode of Sex and the City.
Sure. Yeah, Charlotte's at work. We can see the High Line in the background. This is 26th Street. This is actually Alexander Gray Associates, which is literally right next door to where Biggs Memorial was.
Ouch.
Like, literally shares a wall.
Which makes sense, because there are a lot of art galleries in that area, and Biggs Memorial was at a art gallery.
Correct. So we're playing this as the Upper East Side. It's not. I think they do. It still works. And we get Charlotte taking off the belt as she goes to the Kasabian Gallery.
She's greeted by Anastasia and Kai, or Anastasia and Kai. And they are very cool looking people. And they let her know that Leela will tell her where her jacket is. And we are greeted by Leela coming down the stairs, who is Tony Award winner Bonnie Milligan.
Yes, one of the two of them is living a real Lady Gaga Born This Way moment with her shoulders.
Yeah, I do like it, though.
And Charlotte's Web is Leela's favorite book, so she always gets along with Charlotte's. And Charlotte wants to know if there's a place that she can leave her coat. And off come the Spanx, and on goes the belt. And then I wrote, she takes one Spanx out of the trash. I don't think that Spanx is actually the singular of Spanx, but I wasn't sure what to call it.
Yeah, so Leela tells Charlotte to make herself comfortable. And I think Leela's presence and being told to make herself comfortable, Charlotte's like, wow, this space feels safe for me to just wear this dress.
So here's where I boomeranged, because at first this annoyed me even more. But I'm like, okay, sure. So we have a woman who is larger, who clearly isn't worried about it, and that's going to make you suddenly feel differently. And then I thought to myself, okay, true story. It wasn't that long ago that I was on Fire Island, and I was hanging out with a bunch of people who were all younger than I was. I was definitely the oldest person in this group. And I felt very self-conscious and very much like, I can't wear this swimsuit. Like, I'm too old to be wearing this. I'm going to look weird. I'm going to look fat. I'm going to look out of shape. I literally didn't take one of the swimsuits that I own, because I'm like, well, you're not allowed to wear that ever again, because that was younger you. That's not you anymore. And you know what? The next time that I went, I took that swimsuit, because I was like, you know what? No one cares. Like, just be happy and be comfortable and feel good in yourself. And I was so much happier that time that I was able to just kind of like, I'm just living my life. I'm in this little bathing suit. If anyone is staring at me thinking I'm out of shape, they're not going to say it. And I don't think anyone's thinking it. But it's just, this is where I was able to come back on this storyline to be like, I think what was bothering me was how much I related to it.
And also, I think what they were showing at the end was just when you walked in and you saw those two girls that look like your typical gallery girls, and you're thinking, oh, they're going to be mean to Charlotte right away. And they're not. They're immediately like, oh, we've heard so much about you. Leela will tell you what to do. And we're just, I think what we see here is that the gallery culture has changed in 25 years. That it's no longer the place that Charlotte remembered in a good way.
And, you know, there was talk behind the scenes about making them mean girls. About what if they were kind of like bitchy and rude. And I like that they went with this instead. They were like, no, they're nice and they're young and they have a certain sense of style, but they're not mean. Like, they're happy to see Charlotte. They are excited for her to join the team. I liked that. And it also is sort of goes into our next scene as well, because we sort of had the same thing with Sloane and Serena, where we're like, are they mean girls? Are they rude? They're not really. Like, yeah, they're irritated and feel like Miranda is sort of passing them by, but they're not trying to be. I don't think they're trying to be rude. We get like Miranda's late at work and the other workers are about to leave, and Miranda noticed that Serena omitted the migration stats. And I do kind of feel like Serena could just be like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you caught that. She instead does sort of take a tone of like, wow, you're perfect. perfect.
And then Miranda claps back with, actually, I'm a sexually confused alcoholic who's in the midst of divorce.
Yeah, and Sloane kind of has like a, whoa, well, on that note. And I'm like, all right, well, you're being vaguely rude, but you're not straight up. I don't know. I'm curious to see where those characters go if we have more with them.
And then Miranda gets in trouble from Raina for being there too late because they're strict rules with interns, and Raina does want to talk to her. It is about, Miranda thinks, is it about composting? I'm really trying, which I thought was interesting because I feel like Miranda would have been like a pioneer in the world of composting. Like she would have been composting back in the Tasty Delight days. And Raina has chosen Miranda to be her cover when she's on maternity leave, which will be happening sooner than she thought. And Miranda feels bad for Serena and Sloane. She realizes she has had a lot of privilege, but she is an intern with 30 years experience. This is where I was confused. Like, I don't think Miranda, I think Miranda's getting this job because she's has 30 years of experience.
Yes, I do think that that is true. And I understand her mindset of coming in and feeling perhaps a bit sheepish of like, oh, am I leaping over these other people that have been here longer than I am? But yeah, the point is made, like you didn't graduate first in your class from Harvard or become a partner at a law firm by making yourself smaller than you are. Don't do that here. I do also like the accuracy of, in reality, you cannot be there past 6 o'clock. That's an actual rule if you're interning here. Mm. They also did have people come in and like, so this is the writer's offices in reality. That's where they filmed this, was in the writer's four and just like that in their offices. And they had them all redo it to look like what these actual offices would look like. And yeah, they tried to follow the actual rules of like, no, she'd have to be out by 6 o'clock. I do think it's funny how Raina's like, you have to get out of here, but I'm glad you're still here. Let's talk.
Right. And I think that's probably a very important rule because I can only imagine what they would do to interns if there wasn't that rule.
Murder them.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, just stay and do. I mean, I've been an intern at a summer stock theater, and the things that I had to do for $100 a week.
Sure, like, absolutely.
The amount of hours.
And now we're at dinner, and they're talking about that chicken again.
Yeah, it's very interesting because they say, how does the chicken get up into the bed? And Aiden's like, I lift her. And then there's roaring laughter as if they are at a Che Diaz comedy concert.
Funniest thing they've ever heard.
Yeah.
And then Seema's there.
In a great suit.
In a great suit. And Aiden goes to get her a chair, but maybe let the host do that.
Well, Aiden's just trying. Oh, you mean because he takes it from another table?
Yeah, that's all. It's fine. We can glide past that.
Well, right, because Seema's like, manners, I love this man already. And Mike would have been at the table saying, why did you do that? That's not your section.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, it's a quiet moment of Seema just saying, you know, thanks for the space.
They are at a restaurant called Zaytinya. It's on 1185 Broadway, Nomad area.
Okay. And Carrie's looking at her books and she pulls out Howard's End. And just like that, I went to Aiden's farm. It wasn't Howard's End. It was better. It was our new beginning.
She does take a big whiff of the book before she picks it.
That old book smell.
Yeah. She just smells it.
You know, not for nothing. This is the highest rated episode of And Just Like That on IMDb.
Okay, I liked it.
And Karen Pittman is not in the credit sequence.
Well, she wasn't in it.
She wasn't in it, but I feel like we had an episode earlier that she also wasn't in and she was still credited. And I did go back and look, and she is only credited, I think, for 7 episodes in the first season. So I guess she has that medium contract where every once in a while she's not going to be in the credits because she's not in the episode.
Or maybe, like, they didn't even mention her in this episode. So maybe that has something to do with it, too.
Yeah. Correct. But it makes me wonder if in the other episode that she wasn't in but was credited, if she'd had a scene that had been cut out. I'd be curious to know about that.
And I couldn't help but wonder. I knew one. I had one. I was like, oh, this is going to be a really good one. I couldn't help but wonder why they just didn't open a window in that hotel and take a walk around the neighborhood. Like, it just has to smell. They didn't even get fresh towels. They haven't gotten fresh bed sheets. Come on.
I couldn't help but wonder how Carrie forgot about their timeshare.
Because she's in Lerv.
Ugh, nuts. All right, well, there you go. Yeah, no, I overall like this episode. It was interesting how many issues I had as I was watching it, and then in the end was kind of like, okay, I get it. I see what they were doing there.
Yeah, I'm in.
I'm in. All right, we'll be back. We're still in the weird times, so we'll be back at some point.
All right, bye.
Bye.
You can subscribe to our new Patreon-only podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, Still Wondering, right now. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, let's all take care of each other. Next up, There Goes the Neighborhood. Played by Evelyn Howe.
How do you know her?
I don't.
Oh.
My Journey with Willie, the Elise Castle story.
Now, really quick, though, I do have to do this. Because Willie was the original Chris in Miss Saigon, and because Aiden is played by John Corbett, missed opportunity for, how are you doing there, John? Chris! Sorry. That's all. That's my musical theater reference for the day. Is Love, Valor, Compassion Harvey or Larry Kramer?
No, it's Terrence McNally.
Terrence McNally. Cut that out.
Or the gays will come for you.
Yeah. What if she like smelled it and then got like dust in her nose and started coughing and then farted while coughing?
You really should be a writer on this program.
And that's just how it ends. And just like that.
Perfect.
Interesting. Well, oops.
Perfect. And that's how the episode ends.
And just like that. And I couldn't help but wonder.